So you want to work in healthcare, but you're not sure where to start. I'm Leah, your host of this podcast, and I'm bringing you the inside scoop on healthcare professions. From doctors to PAs to healthcare administrators and CRNAs, my goal is to let professionals tell their stories and give honest reviews of the careers they have chosen. So whether you're considering a job in healthcare or you simply have an interest in what we do, this show is for you. Welcome back to the So You Want to Work in Healthcare podcast. I'm here with the one and only Heather Shul, or you may know her as Heather the Injector, from my first ever episode of the So You Want to Work in Healthcare podcast. And today we're bringing you a bonus episode. These episodes are going to be every other week. So we'll still have the interview style episodes every other week. And then the weeks in between there, we're going to do a little bonus episode for you guys where we talk about healthcare related topics, pop medicine, and have a little bit of fun. So welcome, welcome. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. And don't forget to leave a review on whichever listening platform you are listening on. Hey, Heather.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Of course. I'm so excited that we're doing this.
Me too.
Your episode has the most listens out of all of my podcast episodes. So,
ooh, starting out strong.
Yeah. All right. So today we are going to go over the top 10 jobs in healthcare reported by U.S. News. We're going to break those down for you, give you salaries and things like that. But first, we're going to start with a little pop medicine moment. So Heather, you want to drive us through this?
Oh, yeah. So really interestingly, I saw this week that Elon Musk is using ketamine, and he says it's to help keep the chemical balance correct in his brain, and he uses it when he feels negative, like depressive thoughts coming on. How do you feel about that?
Interesting. I feel like it's giving Michael Jackson on propofol. Like, hopefully it's not that extreme. Obviously, we don't want Elon Musk to pass away. But I don't know that a normal, like, middle class person is getting their doctor to prescribe them ketamine, especially for those reasons.
I agree. You know, as per the FDA, ketamine is a dissociative anesthetic used medically for induction and maintenance of anesthesia, and it is also used as a treatment for depression and pain management. But I'm not that familiar with it used in these circumstances. I would love an anesthesiologist to weigh in on this.
Yeah, for sure.
I just hope he's doing it very safely.
Yes, because it is a very strong drug. And I know it's kind of made its way into the party scene in the last 10 years or so, but that does not mean it is safe.
No.
Whenever I see ketamine, it's usually in an anesthesia type setting with anesthesiologists and professionals. But I have heard that it's been used for things like depression. I just think it needs to be like studied a little bit more potentially, but we'll have to look into that.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe we can comment on a future episode.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get an anesthesiologist on here. But kids, don't try this at home.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. All right, let's get into this list. So I want to break down the top 10 jobs because that's what my podcast is all about. If you don't listen to the podcast or if this is their first time tuning in, Heather and I are both PAs. I work in orthopedic surgery and Heather works in plastics and aesthetic medicine. So I think you guys are going to really enjoy these little tidbits of information we're giving you in these bonus episodes. All right, so first we have number 10. Registered nurse. Good old-fashioned nurse. So what do you think about nurse being number 10?
I think nurses are just one of the most important jobs in the medical team.
Facts.
I don't think any other medical job that I'm sure is going that's hitting this list today could survive without nurses.
Agree.
I think they're, you know, so important. We wouldn't be able to get our jobs done without them. Whether we're in the OR, you're working on the inpatient floors in the hospital, we just cannot survive without nurses. And there's actually a shortage right now.
Yeah, totally. Especially since COVID, there was like a mass exodus from the nursing field. So nursing is super important. I know a lot of people on social media are talking about how they're leaving bedside nursing, but I hope, and I already see it, that changes are being made in the nursing profession to keep nurses at their jobs because they are the backbone of medicine, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. We can't function without them.
All right. Number 9, psychiatrist.
Oh, wow. Well, we definitely don't have enough psychiatrists. And
yeah,
the more people we can get working in, you know, helping patients with mental health, I think we are just so deficient in covering like that sector of healthcare for patients. So I'm glad to hear that it hit the list of the top 10.
Yeah, for patients and for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just saw a meme the other day by Medthusiast. She puts them on a t-shirt and it says, I think every degree in healthcare should come with a lifetime supply of therapy. And it's so true. It's like, honestly, we need therapy and, you know, whether from a psychiatrist, psychologist, to be much more accessible, because most people like can't afford it. Like I can barely afford it.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to change. So yeah, psychiatrists. And the median salary is listed as $226,000 a year. There are about 1,900 projected jobs.
Okay. Well, hopefully more than that in the future going forward.
Yeah.
The more we can get, the better. I feel like sometimes my own job, I feel like a therapy dog half the time. Because, you know, you may be coming in for something that is completely unrelated to this conversation, whether it's aesthetics or whatnot. But I'm also your therapy dog. So
perfect.
Not everyone has someone to talk to.
That's true.
But I'm always here.
Real quick. Sorry, I forgot to mention this. Going back to registered nurse, the median salary is $81,000, which I think is higher than it has been.
Yeah, I think that is higher as well.
It's good.
And honestly, I think they deserve well more than that.
Yeah, same.
They work really hard, long shifts.
Very hard. All right, number 8 is oral and maxillofacial surgeon.
Oh.
The median salary is $239,000 a year, and projected jobs are only 200.
I'm actually really surprised that the salary is that low. I would have expected it to be higher.
Yeah.
They do such like fine detailed work in the operating room. So just a lot of skill, a lot of education required to do those surgeries.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, you need a doctorate for this and for to be a psychiatrist as well. But I agree. I think that salary is a little bit low for sure. I passed out in an oral surgery. That was fun.
As a patient or?
No, just watching.
Just watching. Okay.
I couldn't handle it. I was like, oh gosh. We're going into the mouth, like into the jaw. This isn't, and I didn't expect to feel that way as a student. And yeah, I just went down. It's great.
Well, I hope you were kneeling on the floor before you went down.
I hope you didn't hit your head. I think like someone had a chair, like slid a chair, because I was like, I don't feel good. But yeah, tough to watch for me, but necessary mm-hmm. profession.
You know, some fields are not for everybody.
True. All right. Number 7 is physical therapist. I feel like they could be higher on this list because I really do feel like physical therapists are so crucial. And I don't think they often get enough credit for what they do and the knowledge that they have.
Oh, 100%. They know anatomy so well and they essentially keep you moving. Like if you just had your knee replacement done, or the whole team, we're solely relying on the physical therapist to help you with your range of motion, which also prevents scar tissue from forming, for example. So
right.
Back in my ortho days, I used to tell my patients, you know, your physical therapist is going to keep you in line, going to make sure you're not forming scar tissue, and just integral member of the team.
For sure. The median salary is a little low, in my opinion, $97,000 a year.
That I would expect to be higher as well.
Yeah. And you need a doctorate. So I wonder if the payoff is worth it, right? Like, it's not cheap to go to physical therapy school in most cases. And if you're making under $100,000 a year, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that trade-off is worth it, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to be in debt. How long is it going to take to pay all of that off? I think I'm pretty sure every salary I'm going to say is too low. I expect it to be higher and it should be higher.
I know. Well, we live in New York City, so we expect it all to be higher. But I will say the projected jobs are 37,000. Maybe that's why it ranked a bit higher, because of the opportunity there.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Number 6 is nurse anesthetist, or CRNA, as some of you may know it. I had Chrissy on a recent podcast episode. So if anyone's interested in becoming a nurse anesthetist, definitely check that episode out. I think it's episode 7. The median salary is $203,000 a year. So close to what the surgeons were making, just to point that out. and projected jobs are 4,500 and you need a master's. And actually, I think Chrissy was saying now most of the programs are now doctorates. So I'm not sure why it says master's, but I think most of the programs are doctorates if I'm, I have to double check that.
That was an awesome episode that you recorded with Chrissy. Very insightful. And absolutely, I always am recommending CRNAs as a specialty for somebody, if especially if they're a nurse, they're interested in healthcare, and your starting salary is super high.
Yeah, that's a good trade-off.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool job, too. You have a lot of autonomy, but you get to work with anesthesiologists, and it's very hands-on. I would have considered that. Like, if I had gone the nursing path, I think I would have considered a nurse anesthetist.
I agree. And I actually did not know what a nurse anesthetist was until I was working as a PA.
Really?
So that's why this podcast is so important.
Yes. All right, next. Number five, veterinarian. Yes, for the animals.
Ooh.
Median salary is $103,000 a year, but there are 17,000 projected jobs. So guys, it sounds like the United States needs vets.
Are there enough schools to support these future jobs?
I don't know.
We need more vets. Our dogs and our cats are the most valuable family members we have. So
true. Most valuable family members.
Absolutely.
Interestingly, the unemployment rate is 0.2%, so that's great. And there are a lot of jobs. I'll have to look into how many schools there are, but there's a lot of future growth opportunities, and they rate the stress. So there's like a scorecard. If you go to US News, there's a scorecard: salary, job market, future growth, stress, and work-life balance. And the stress level is rated a 6.6. Now, I don't know if that's high, like, or low. Like, how is this stress scale working?
I would think it's stressful, because like, if my dog doesn't feel well, I want to cry.
Oh, for sure.
I can only imagine what it's like to be a veterinarian.
Oh my gosh. That I would have become a veterinarian.
Vegetarian.
If I, like, because I love animals, but I could never be responsible for an animal crossing the rainbow bridge. I just couldn't do it.
No, I would cry all day.
All day. So that's number five. Number four is occupational therapist. So occupational therapist beats out physical therapist right now.
Oh, that's interesting.
Median salary is a little lower than a PT, so $93,000 a year. Projected jobs, though, 16,000, and you need a master's to become an occupational therapist.
Occupational therapists really were in need over COVID. There were a lot of patients that were having complications due to COVID. So I know the occupational therapists were kind of working overtime.
Really?
They were super busy. Yeah.
Do you know the difference, the main difference between physical therapy and occupational therapy?
Yes.
We're looking it up. I think it's though that occupational therapy is more about like activities of daily living, smaller movements, like hand stuff.
Yeah.
I could be totally wrong.
It's also it's a branch of healthcare that helps with people of all ages who have physical, sensory, and cognitive problems. Even like small things like just hand movements, fine motor touch, things like that, exactly as you said.
Okay, so fine motor is kind of what I was thinking. Number three is speech language pathologist.
Interesting. I am surprised to hear it's that high, but that's great.
Yeah, me too, given my TikTok comments. I made a video about this subject last year, maybe 2 years ago, and a lot of the speech language pathologists wrote in. They were like, my job sucks. Why is this number three? Like, this is so crazy. I want to know why. Like, so I'm definitely interested to know. It could be that there are 33,000 projected jobs. I'm sensing that the projected job metric is driving a lot of this list.
That's really interesting. I mean, I think it's such an important asset like to have for the medical team. And back when I was doing my dietetic internship, so we were working in the hospitals at the time, and for patients that had swallowing disorders, we would have the speech language pathologists come see these patients. And it's really important for the safety of the patient, not only just speech, but also swallowing different liquids. We don't want them to choke. So that whole integral pathway.
Yeah. No, it's very important. I want to know if anybody listening is a speech language pathologist, comment, write to us, send me a DM on Instagram. I'm the PA. But yeah, it's number three. That's high. And you need a master's to become an SLP. All right. We're finally to number two, the best job in all of the land, physician assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Some people know it as physician associate now. We are the number two job in healthcare. Projected jobs is 39,000. Median salary is 126,000 a year, and you need a master's now. It used to be that you just needed a bachelor's, and now a couple years ago, they switched it to every program has to be a master's.
And I think there are certain states that will require you to have a master's, and in others, you don't.
Yeah. And obviously, we could talk a little more on this subject because we're both PAs, but I think one of the best parts about being a PA is the work-life balance that you can and should have, and the versatility of the job, meaning you can switch specialties whenever you want.
Which is exactly what I did.
Yes, you did. You totally switched specialties.
And there are so many PAs, and not only PAs, and PAs as well, very common interest in orthopedics and aesthetics. So there's a big crossover there.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who have gone from ortho to aesthetics or plastics. Finally, our number one spot is nurse practitioner. Unfortunately, PAs fell to number two this year, but number one is currently nurse practitioner. The median salary is $121,000. You need a master's now to become a nurse practitioner. And they list projected jobs here, 118,000 projected jobs. So lots of opportunity there. What do you think about NP being the number one spot?
It's really interesting. I mean, I know we're talking about salaries today, and I know it varies so widely between all the different states, and it really depends on where you live. And all these stats, it's always fluctuating every year. But it really is a great job. You have a lot of autonomy, but it's just interesting how it compares to the other medical jobs. So what's your opinion on it?
I think it is a great profession. And like you said, lots of autonomy. I rely on our NPs at the hospital. Like, honestly, a week like this week where I'm down a PA, I really wouldn't be able to get all this work done without them. They help out so much. So like, props to my NPs.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I will say, though, there has been some controversy around a lot of the nurse practitioner or master's programs where there's a lot of online kind of part-time programs, and they've been accused, I guess you could say, of giving out easy diplomas. So the vetting process, I guess, like, isn't as serious as it is for, say, med school or PA school. They're calling them like diploma mills, which I don't think there are that many programs that are like this. I think the majority of NP programs are legit, but I think that the nursing association needs to kind of get these like diploma mills under control, because nobody wants to start a job being unprepared.
No, absolutely. And I've heard of this in different specialties as well. And typically those programs get shut down. And I don't think anyone wants to start a job not feeling prepared. So I don't think that has any reflection on the nurse practitioner job in general. I think it's a fantastic job. And I agree with you. Back when I was working in orthopedic surgery, we heavily relied on our nurse practitioners to help. At the time when I was working as a private PA, I was the only PA and I needed assistance. And the nurse practitioners would help with calling our surgical patients, helping with medication refills, and just a lot of the follow-up care that could take a lot of time away from me seeing patients in clinic. So it was invaluable to have them.
I'm not against it being the number one job. I mean, I think there's a lot of promise there, and they can do a lot, and they can start their own practices and practice independently. So I wish PA was still number one, because I think it's the best job in healthcare. But, you know, it can't be number one all the time.
I guess we have some favoritism going on.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious, I don't know if you have this information, what the top paying state is for nurse practitioners or even the other specialties.
Hopefully on our next episode, we're going to go through that for PAs. When I look on the U.S. News site, I do not think it breaks it down by state. But yeah, I'd be curious. I will add, nurse practitioner at the number one spot has 118,000 projected jobs. But I hope you guys enjoyed this program.
This was great.
Yeah, I get a lot of questions about this, and I think we needed to break it down because it changes a little bit every year too. I hope this helped you all in making a decision for yourself. If you want more information on this, you could go on the US News website, or you can DM us. Don't forget to leave a review on the podcast. Hopefully you guys like this little setup of the bonus episodes. If you do, let us know so we'll keep doing them.
Thanks for having me back.
Of course. You can find me at Hello, I'm the PA on social media. You can find Heather at HeatherTheInjector_NYC. We will see you next time in about 2 weeks on the next bonus episode. Don't forget to tune into last week's episode where I interviewed Sanjay Juneja. He is the Onc Doc. I'm sure you all know him. It was a great interview. We really talked about the hard stuff. So if you're interested in becoming a doctor of oncology or a PA in oncology, definitely listen to that episode. Can't wait to see you guys next time. Thanks, Heather.
Bye.
Bye. This is the So You Want to Work in Healthcare podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date on the latest releases.